Good morning to all of you who've joined us on this April the 26th, 2020, for the Radio Sunday School lesson. Our lesson today is going to come from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 14. The last 2 weeks we've been studying, first of all, on the 12th of April. We were studying actually about Easter Sunday. And then the last week we studied about why Easter or why the resurrection matters. And we had two great lessons on the resurrection of our Lord. So we're so grateful for you to join us in these times and be a part of our study. Now, we begin today a new series called Dealing with Messy Relationships. So after a wonderful lessons on resurrection and what that means to us, we look at life as it really is happening even today, where we have, quote, messy relationships. This will be over a period of, lessons on dealing with messed relationships, and then we'll have the fourth one will be on serving and yielding and accepting. So you'll enjoy it, I know, and you'll benefit from it because it's going to come directly from God's Word. We again today, I'm going to do the lesson by myself in order to honor our president, Donald Trump's instructions that we stay home much as we can and that we not spread the virus if we have it or if others have it that we don't catch it. So we're trying to be obedient to that. And then also our governor in the state of Alabama, Governor Ivey, has issued a stay-at-home order. And of course, some of it is pretty strict. It isn't an attempt to stop this virus, and we pray that it's going to work. We want you to pray for us as we go through these tough times. Soon our helpers will join us again, Brother Brandon Pinion, Brother Mike Hall. We may even have Brother Bob Little again, and we could have even our young friend Pat, who has joined us from time to time. But we'll have a good time, and I'll do the best I can do today. It won't be as good as if those other guys had joined me, but we'll study the Word of God, and then you look forward to the time when they all do come back and help me. The series today is very important because all of us, at one time or another, deal with messy relationships. Today, our lesson's on love. Any strong relationship must begin with love. The passage ahead of the scripture lesson I mentioned we are studying today out of John chapter 15, verses 9 through 14, but the lesson, the scripture ahead of this in chapter 14, deals with the vine and the branches. And the vine, of course, is Jesus. This is the picture of Jesus, he being the vine, and we, his followers, and his preachers and teachers, and disciples, learners, we are the branches. And so the vine, Jesus, the branches, us. That's very important, even as we start thinking about our lesson on love. And we begin to look at what love means to us and to other people, and then even into the Bible ministries that we all have. I'm going to divide the lesson into three different sections because we've got three little groups of scripture that'll fit under those headings. The first is Jesus' teaching on love. The second, the purpose for Christ teaching on love. And then the third, the proof of Christ teaching us to love and Him loving us and letting us love for Him through our lives. So first of all, Jesus teaching on love. I'm going to read that scripture, John 15, verses 9 and 10. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments, and abide in His love. Now, Jesus is teaching on love. Number one, Jesus says that love begins with God the Father. As the Father hath loved me, said Jesus. So love that we're supposed to have, and we're supposed to illustrate, and we're supposed to demonstrate and pass on to other people, begin with God the Father. And I'm so glad that He's the one that began it, because it will be good. It will be perfect. His love is. And ours is to try as best we can to imitate His love. In John 3:16, which all of you I'm sure can quote, even the children, if you gathered them around this radio, you would hear them say, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting love, eternal love, rather everlasting life, eternal life." We don't know much about eternal stuff. All the things that I've taught this several times in the last few weeks on the lesson, but anything we know has a beginning and an ending to it. Anything that you can name apart from God and apart from the life that He's given us and apart from what is divine are things that have a beginning and an end. There was a time when I was not. There was a time when I wasn't born, but I have a birth date. And that birth date is my time of beginning as far as the world is concerned. Now, I'm not saying that in relationship to an abortion and taking a child, a baby's life, just because it has not been born yet. Because at some point way earlier than that, probably even at conception, a baby is a person. And a baby has a beginning. So under no circumstances are we to think, are we to approve or to accept even the killing of little babies, because they have a beginning, and it's not in the sense of life beginning. It's not when they are actually born. But all we know about us and about others around us is when we see them after they're born. A little precious newborn baby. I remember that one of our sons, and I don't know why the hospital allowed this, but he came walking down the hall holding his newborn baby. But how precious it is to see a newborn baby and know that now, as far as the world knows and as far as the world is concerned, this is that baby's birth date, his or her beginning. But God knows about eternal things. And the way we have eternal life, and that is one that never ends, one that will never cease, is because God loved us. Again, quoting that verse, "For God so loved the world." You can put your name there, I can put my name there. He loves us individually. He knew us before we ever were born. He knew us from all eternity past. He knew the day you'd be born. He knew what you'd do with your life. But he loved us. And I'm sure glad that he did. Because where would we be if we didn't have God's love? Love began with God the Father. Even in the Garden of Eden, God had to teach Adam and Eve, no doubt, how to love. How to love. And really, for us to have the right kind of love that we ought to have, we have to be taught by God. We love our children. We love our families. We love our country. We love our church. We love so many things. I don't think we ought to say we love vanilla ice cream. I sure do like it a lot, but I don't think the word is we love it. Or you love a pecan pie, or you love any kind of pie, or you love any kind of cake. So in any event, those things are not love. Love is something far beyond that. It is an emotion. It is an attachment to people. But God had to give us love. In the Bible, it says that God is love. So if you want to know what love really is, look at God. Look at his mercy. Look at his kindness. Look at his forgiveness. Look at what he was willing to sacrifice in order for you to have your sins forgiven. Love begins with God the Father. Secondly, as we read, think about what Jesus taught on love, what he teaches on love, Jesus loved us because of the Father's love. God sent his Son into the world that we might be forgiven of our sins. That's why Jesus came. That was the purpose of his coming. God loved us. Jesus loved us too. Now, we never have seen God the Father, and I never have physically seen Jesus the Savior either. But I have sure experienced his forgiveness, and I've experienced his love and his care in my life. And it's almost as if I had seen him, because I have seen the changes he does in a person's life and have seen what he does do for us individually. Jesus loved us because of the Father's love. That's what he says in that verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. So he declared his love, but he also said it was the same kind of love that God the Father had for him. And it was because of that love that God the Father had for him. A lot of things in the Bible we don't understand, and a whole lot about God. In fact, most about God we don't understand. We don't know how God can be three in one. The Trinity, I don't understand the Trinity, but I'm not going to deny it because the Bible teaches it. And I don't understand electricity. I don't know how you turn on a switch on a wall and lights come on. I never have seen electricity, but I have felt the sting of it when I got shocked a time or two in my life. And I've reaped the benefit of it because of the lights and because of other electrical things that work because of electricity. Your refrigerator, your stove, your TV, your computer, even the devices that I am recording this lesson on, they're electrical devices. And so I know electricity is real. I never have seen the Lord Jesus in person, but I've seen his results, and I've seen the effects of him, and I've seen what he can do and is doing and will do in our life. So why did Jesus love us? Well, looking at it from a human standpoint, we don't have an answer. We're not lovable. Nobody can say, well, I deserve Jesus' love. He loves me because I deserve it. No, he He loves us because of the Heavenly Father's love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, Christians are to continue this love to others. The old song, the old hymn, says, "Let others see Jesus in you." And what that means, let them see the love of God. Let them see the change. Let them see how God loves them through how you love them and your life that is lived before them. So Jesus wants us, he expects us, that we are to continue the Heavenly Father's love that he gave to his Son, and his Son Jesus' love that he gave to us, and we're to pass it on. We're to pass it on. We are to send it forward, and we are to show others that God's love is real, even through our own life, that we live, and our own contact with them, our own relationship with them. Have you ever told anybody about God's love? Have you ever told them about Jesus loving them? Well, that's something that we all definitely are supposed to do. We're to not only let others see the work of Jesus in us, but to see the love of God through us. And God help us to be sure every single day to see that somebody sees that God loves them through Jesus. Have you ever told anybody that God loved them? Have you ever said to them, God loves you? I remember several years ago, and I've shared this too on one of these radio programs, but I was preaching a revival up in North Alabama. And on Friday night, the altar filled with people, and people were being dealt with by folks that were there at the altar, some of the counselors. But one fellow came, and there wasn't anybody to talk to him. So I spoke to him, and he began to confess sins that you wouldn't believe in his life. And I just kind of wondered, why in the world would he do that? He came all week long. I had preached against sin. I'd preached on the penalty of sin. I'd preached on how sin was plentiful all around us, but even in our own life. But so I said to him, why would you come tonight? And why would you even come back any of the nights when you've come tonight and confessed all of those sins that's in your life? And he said, well, I'll tell you why. He said, on the first service I came to, you told me that God loved me. You preached that from the pulpit. And then when I started out the door after that first service, you told me that you loved me, even though you didn't even know me. And he said, I've been in prison for 12 years. I just got out 2 or 3 weeks ago, and nobody in all of that time has ever told me they love me. I couldn't get away with it. The fact that God loved me, and that Jesus loved me, and that even a strange preacher that didn't know me, and certainly wouldn't appreciate the life that I've been living, and the things that I've done, couldn't say you love me because of that. And he said it was just more than I could stand to think that the Almighty God and that his Son Jesus, who you preached this week, died on a cross for my sins, would love me. And that's what the world is looking for, really. They're not looking for a great Sunday school teacher lesson. They're not looking for a great teaching on theology. They're not looking for great words of wisdom or somebody that has the gift of being a speaker. They are looking for love and acceptance, and to feel even good enough about themselves so that they can love themselves, they can forgive themselves. I'm not talking about the wrong kind of loves, that proud love, or that proud feeling of thinking we're good enough to be saved by God. We're good enough to be loved by Jesus. No, I'm talking about that we think about, if God loved us that much and did that much for us, surely, 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 He must have seen something in us, and He must have changed something about us. So somebody that's listening, and you're not a Christian, and I know your life in the sense that that was my life too. I've not always been a Christian. I'm not like the lady that called me some weeks ago and told me she had some books that would be helpful to a preacher, and she had sent some to me samples. And I asked her if she was a Christian, and she acted as if I had totally offended her. She said, "Of course I am. I've always been a Christian." Well, that's not true. None of us have always been a Christian. We became a Christian when we accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. And that wasn't the case with me. I was not always that way. I grew up in a very difficult situation, and I didn't know God, didn't know anything about God, to be honest with you. I think I knew there was a God, there was somebody bigger than me that had made this world and made the stars and the moon and made the rain to fall and made the wind to blow. And I knew I couldn't do it, and I didn't know anybody that was smart enough to do it. So I think I knew there was a God, but I didn't know anything about Him. I did not know anything about Him until one night in a evening service in a Baptist church. Preacher preached on sin. I'd only been to church two or three times really in my whole life. I didn't go to church. We were not church people. There was nobody in our family in early years was a Christian except my mama, and she had been saved when she was just a girl, but our life was so chaotic and so unbelievably cruel, and things were so much wrong with it that we didn't know anything about God at all. But that's few times that I went, and that preacher preached that I was a sinner. He didn't call me by name, but he might as well have. And in a way, I guess I kind of resented that he would identify my sins, because I guess I thought everybody there knew about them. But, of course, they didn't. But God did, and God put that through the Holy Spirit in His mind to preach that way. And anyhow, after a few, two or three times of attending church, and me trying to correct my own life and being a failure at it, then I came to the Lord, just simple, lost sinner that desperately needed some help. And He reached down and touched me and saved me and forgave me. So I learned about the love of God that way. That's all I knew about God. It took me a long time to learn what some of the third and fourth graders know now about the Bible and about God. That's the reason it's real important. You grandparents and you parents too, you teach your children about God and about Jesus and about His love. And then you show that to them. Oh, I know you love your children, grandchildren, but show them the love of God. Teach them the love of God. Take every opportunity to tell them about Jesus' love for them. Jesus is teaching on love. Love begins with God the Father. Jesus loved us because of the Father's love. In fact, that's why he came to us, for God so loved the world that he gave, he sent his only begotten Son. Christians are to continue this love to others, and not just to other Christians. There are some people, of course, in your family, it's easy to love your family. And there are some Christians you probably go to church with, and you love them. It's easy to love them. But what about that old sinner that uses profanity, and his or her life is sinful and has all of those sinful practices? Have you ever tried to love them? Well, we're supposed to. We're supposed to. God didn't send us to judge, but he did send us to share God's love with people who are lost, who are not worthy of his love, but by the same token, we're not either. No one is. No one is. But we are to carry Jesus' love to other people, just like I unknowingly. I knew that God did love everybody that morning when I shared the message on God loving people, and when I told people that I loved them. But I did not know. I did not know that that man's life was going to be so radically changed by the love of God. But people's lives are changed. A fourth thing about Jesus' teaching on love is the obedience to Jesus' commandments is to continue his love through us onto others. In verse 10, if you keep my commandments, said Jesus, you shall abide in my love. Now, we can't say we love God and say we love people if we do not obey Jesus and keep his commandments. Now, what are Jesus' commandments? Well, they asked him that one day, and he said the first is that you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and strength. Now, that's pretty hard to do. That's pretty hard for us to claim to have done. But that's to be our goal, and that's to be our effort. And then to love your brother and love sinners and to love others as you do yourself. Most of us love ourselves. I wouldn't take a hammer and hit my finger on purpose with it at all. I wouldn't take a knife and stick it in my side at all. And very few people are willing to do that. But we do sometimes do things, maybe not physically like that, but maybe we hurt other people, even within our own family, or in the community, or at school, or at church. But Jesus said, keep my commandments. Now somebody said, what about in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments? I think you're to keep the Ten Commandments. Now, I don't believe you're to kill. I don't believe you're to steal. I don't believe you're to commit adultery. I don't believe you're to lie. I don't believe you're to do any of those things. Those are to be your goal, that you obey and you keep them. However, I can tell you that those, if you could start right now and keep every one of those commandments, it wouldn't save you. What's going to take care of all those sins of the past? What's going to take care of all those other times you've broken these laws? But I do believe that if you think about what God's Word said that Jesus taught, he said you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. You know, if you look at the Ten Commandments over next to chapter 20, you'll discover that the first four deals with our relationship to God. So, if you love him with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, then you will try to the utmost of your ability to obey God and respect God and reverence God and keep those things that He's outlined, you'll do it because you love Him, because you love God. The last six deals with our relationship with other people. Don't steal, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't lie, those things. So those are how we are to relate to other people and how we are to treat other people. Well, Jesus said, my number one commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you loved your neighbor like yourself, you wouldn't steal from them. You wouldn't murder them. You wouldn't commit adultery. You wouldn't lie. So this would take care of the last six of those commandments found in Exodus chapter 20. So God didn't do away with them. He just gave us another method and another motive for keeping them. Because of our love for God, we keep the first four. And, of course, I think we keep the last six because we love Him too. But the last six deals with our love that we're to have to our neighbor and how we're supposed to treat our neighbor. So, Jesus really taught strongly on love. Love begins with God the Father. Jesus loved us because of the Father's love. Christians are to continue this love to other people. And the obedience to Jesus' commandment is to continue His love through us on to others. And then finally, you see Jesus' example. He exampled abiding in God's love through His abiding in the Father's love. Verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Certainly we will, as I've kept the Father's commandments and abide in His love. That word abide means to live, to be at home, to be at home. He was at home with His Father's commandments, and we ought to be at home with Jesus' commandment also. It ought to be something that we want to do. Can we do it perfectly? No. Will we sin sometime? Yes. But of course, there's always going to Him and asking for His forgiveness. So as we think about dealing with messy relationship, and sometimes we mess up our relationship with Jesus. Sometimes we mess up our relationship with others. But the second thing is to look at the purpose for Christ's teaching on love. And these teachings come out of John 15, 11, and 12. These things, Jesus said, have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So, what do we think about that? What do we think about what Jesus said for the purpose of teaching on love? I think, first of all, He taught about love so that we might have the joy of Jesus in our heart. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you. And so when we love other people with His love and let Him love through us, then we have His joy in us. And we are safe and satisfied and contented and happy in His love. Now, I can tell you the world is not going to provide you things that's lasting in a way of enjoyment. A lot of people say, well, I like to go fishing. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. Don't do it on Sunday. My mama would get a hold of you with a switch if you did it on Sunday. She said that was the Lord's day. I didn't know the Lord, but that's what Mama said, and she enforced the law. My mama stood about 5 feet tall, I reckon, had a little curly, kinky hair, and she, her voice was always soft and kind. But I'll tell you what, my sister and I learned real early that when Mama said something, we better do it. There was no doubt about Mama's love, but there was no doubt about her ability with the peach tree limb either. And we learned right quick that sometimes we could lose our joy if we disobeyed Mama. But Mama wanted us to love her, and she was always kind. We didn't have anything when I was coming up. I remember the first jelly roll I ever had. We had to work on the farm. We didn't hurt ourselves, but we thought we were killing ourselves getting out there. Mama took care of the house and took care of the washing, took care of washing those kids. It was always kind of amusing. Mama washed. She didn't have an electric washing machine. In fact, truthfully, we didn't have electricity. We did not have electricity in our house until my seventh grade in school. Now, the telephone line, I remember when they ran it right through our front yard. But we never got hooked up on it. And so Mama's washing was done on a rub board. And she would take the first water, and she'd put that board down in there, and she would rub those overalls and little rough clothes we had on it with soap. Mama made her own soap. Many of you people are listening to me. If you're older people, you remember when your mama did too. Made lye soap to do the washing. It's a wonder it hadn't eaten a hide off of us even after she cleaned her clothes. Mama take them old bars of soap that you had made, and she'd rub them down on them clothes and scrub on that rub board. Well, then she'd put it in the next washing, and she would rinse it a little bit. So then she'd get all the soap suds she could out, and then we had one final galvanized tub, and Mama would put it in there. And I reckon it was in that tub, that water, that she would put blue in to make her old overalls look as new as she could. So when she got through with that, then she'd hang them on the line. But our bath, after that water set out in the warm sunshine, we took a bath in the blue water. It's a wonder we hadn't turned out to be blue children. But anyhow, she made sure we got good and clean. And that was something actually we looked forward to, was our bath in her final rinse water. Now, it's possible, though, for people, when I look back, I have a lot of joy. We had nothing. We didn't have any washing machine. We didn't have an electric cook stove. We didn't have a light. Our light was a kerosene lamp. And we'd shade one side of it for folks that were going to go on to bed. And if we had our lessons to do, after we came in from working, then we sat down and did them with that. But there was a joy in that simple living that I didn't know about then. I didn't know about electricity then either. I didn't know about anything like that. So I guess we all were poor folks, and we just didn't know it. And that made it possible to be joy. But you can lose your joy of Jesus in our life. He said, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you." Now, if we have the joy of the Lord, it's because we obedient to Him and because we love Him in return for His love. And you can lose that joy, not lose your salvation, because the Bible makes it clear that if you are born again, then you are forever born again. You can't get unborn. And when He calls us His children, we're children forever. Sometimes we're good children, like we were, my sister and I, sometimes. Sometimes we weren't so good. Sometimes we did things that wasn't real good. I mean, my poor grandmother lived with us, and Mama and them would go to town about once a month. And they were gone on occasion. And we had a willow tree that grew right out a little bit from our well. And I climbed up in that willow tree. Poor Ma was real old. And I pretended I couldn't get down. And it just worried her to death, because I was up that tree and couldn't get back down. So you can readily see I wasn't the sweetest kid in the whole world. But we had a lot of joy. We had a lot of things that needed to be corrected in our lives, too, that there wasn't but one person in the whole wide world could do that. And I'll tell you more about Him in just a moment. But the Lord's purpose for teaching that we might have the joy of Jesus in our life. And the reason He wanted that was that our joy might be full. We've all enjoyed some things. Like I said, we'll go fishing. Some folks like to go hunting. Some folks like to do different things in life. Some folks probably like to go to a football game for your grandchildren and watch them. But, you know, we can lose our joy. We can lose our joy. Some of the hardest things I've ever had to do as a pastor was to deal with people that no longer had any joy or contentment in their life. What do you say to someone? How do you refresh or renew that joy in their life? How you go about doing that? Well, I'm going to tell you something. It only can be done if the joy of the Lord is in their life. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our satisfaction. And He says, I want you to have that. I want you to, and that's the reason, that's my purpose for teaching you about love, is so that you might have that joy that passeth all understanding. The joy that nobody can explain. It's just like the peace of God. When you have the peace of God, you can't explain it. I can't explain that peace. When the world's falling apart around us, and when the world has turned its back on God and done so many things, how do you explain that in the midst of it, you can have joy? As we read back over history and the Christians who have had their life taken from them because of their stand for Jesus. And yet, you read, they died singing. They burned at the stakes, and they died rejoicing. Paul said, I'm, in so many words, I'm so glad that God counted me worthy to suffer for Him. Have you ever suffered for the Lord? Well, if you have, it's because of His love. And if you have, you've had that joy. And He wants you to be. He wants joy to be in you. Jesus don't want you to walk around and be sad. He don't want you to walk around and be hopeless. A lot of folks think God's just a meanie sitting up in heaven somewhere waiting for us to make a mistake so he can jump on us. But that's not true. That's not true. He wants us to have joy. And Jesus wants us to have joy, too. He wants us to understand the joy that comes from walking with the Lord and from experiencing His love. He wants us not only to have joy, but He wants it to be full. He says, I've spoken these things that my joy would remain in you and that your joy might be full. The third thing in the way of purpose for Christ teaching about love is having the love of Jesus and passing the love of Jesus on to others is not just a suggestion, but it is a commandment. Because God knows, and Jesus knows, that we will never be happy if we do not share His love to others who are lost. And I want to share right this time with you. I hope that most of you that are listening are saved people, born again people. But let me share God's plan for salvation for you and for your children, your neighbors, and even that old rascal that lives down the road that nobody likes. God loves him, though, and He wants you to tell Him about it. But now, what is God's plan for our salvation? Some of you say, well, He wants us to go to church. Yeah, that's right. But going to church won't save you. God wants us to tell the truth. Yeah, that's right. But telling the truth won't save you. God wants us to be good to other people. Yes, that's right. But that won't save you. God wants us to share with those who are needy part of what we have. That's right. But that will not save your soul or give you forgiveness of your sins. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, dear friend, I don't know you, and I hope I will get to speak to you in heaven, but think about this. Think about this. God says you are a sinner. And that was a stark realization in my life. Just as about 16, 17 years old, I reckon, when I was saved. I had grown up outside the church and outside of the Bible and its teaching, and didn't know much about love except for just to my own immediate family. I didn't know much about love. But I was shocked when I discovered, and the preacher told me preaching, that I was a sinner. Now, sinner just sounds so terrible. To call somebody a sinner. And I've had people say, I'm not a sinner, but you are. God said it, and I'll take His word on it. In Romans 3:23, Paul wrote what God told him to. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm going to tell you that all includes me. It all includes you. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some folks more than others. But do you know what? If you had only sinned one sin in your whole life, you would be a sinner. If you had only sinned one time in your whole life, you would be a sinner. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So if you just sin one time, you just told one lie in your whole lifetime, you just disobeyed God one time in your whole lifetime, which is not at all possible, you would be a sinner because all have sinned. But here's the real sad and hurtful part of it. The wages or the pay for sin is eternal damnation. The wages of sin is death. Now, there's physical death. A lot of people in America have died from this old coronavirus. Thousands of people. All over the world, thousands of people have died from coronavirus. But that's just one kind of sin. I mean, one kind of death. That's physical death. Physical death. But there is another death. In Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death. Oftentimes, and I hope I do it every time, oftentimes I say, if you're born once, that is just your spiritual birth, you'll die twice. Physically, if the Lord don't come back and call us out before death, you'll die physically. But if you're not a Christian and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you will be separated from God eternally. Physical death is the separation of the soul from the body. Spiritual death is the separation of the soul from God the Father, from the Creator, from He who made us, be separated eternally. Never be able to pray a prayer. Never have another chance at salvation. So, but now, we all are sinners. The wages of sin is death. But in Romans 5:8, here's some good news. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. One of my children, when he was saved, said, and I knew what he wanted, but I wanted to hear him say it. And he said, Daddy, while Jesus was dying, I was sinning. And while I was sinning, Jesus was dying for me. How true from the mouth of a child. How very, very true. So what happens? If we're sinners, if the wages of sin is death, but if God commends, or he showed, he recommended, he demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, we didn't clean ourselves up and become good people. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you've never asked him, Jesus, that is, to forgive you and forgive your sins, will you not today, will you not right this minute, will you right now say, Father, I am a sinner and I have sinned, but I'm asking you to apply what you paid for me on Calvary's cross for my sins and to save me. And I assure you, God will do it. He said so, and he never lies. And so far, as we think about messy relationships, dealing with them, and love being one of them, we see Jesus is teaching on love. We see the purpose for Christ teaching on love. And then I want to close with the proof of Christ's love in us and through us. Let's see the proof of it. And the proof of it in John 15, verses 13 and 14. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. How do I know that Jesus loves me? How do I know? The little children saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that's true. How do I know it? Because Jesus laid down his life for me, for you, for the worst person you can think of in the whole wide world, the worst sinner you could ever think of, Jesus loved and he died so that that person could be saved. Will he be saved? I don't know. And you that are listening to me, will you be saved? I don't know. I sure do hope so. Because no greater love could one have than to lay down his life for a friend. Now, if Jesus proved his love for us in that manner, he expects us to love too. He didn't ask me to die for him. I hope if ever the time comes when I'm faced with it, that I will be willing to die for my Savior. But he did ask me to live for him. He did ask me to live a godly, obedient life to him and to walk with him and to serve him. He did you too. He did you too. You say, well, you're a preacher. Well, I am. I've pastored for 59 years. 59 years. But that word wasn't just for me. It was for you too. You may be lost right now, and you can be saved this very, very morning. Very morning. You can be saved and your sin be forgiven. But I want you to know that he has shown his love. Now, are we going to show our love back to him? For you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And he's told you to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. He's told you to love others as much as you love yourself. That's what it would take to make Jesus happy. That's what it would take for him to have the joy. And that's what it would take for you to have that joy too. So we see Jesus is teaching on love. Jesus' purpose for teaching on love. And then we see the proof that Christ's love is in us and that it is flowing on through to others. He proved his love for us in that while we were sinners, he died for us. Now he wants us to prove our love for him by loving in his name other people and teaching him or her the things from the Word of God and to teach them to love Jesus, to share with them how they can be forgiven of their sins. That's my calling, and that is your calling also. So I pray right now today you will make that commitment to God and say that I will, that messy relationships, but I will love as best I can like you want me to. I'll share as best I can the love of Jesus with everybody at home, at work, in the family, wherever it may be. But I'll share with them that Jesus truly, truly loves them. You know what? God sent me to tell you this today, and I'm so glad I could. Now then, somebody's going to come in your path today that you can tell this to, too. I wish I could hear you say, even over the radio right now, Brother Herschel, I will tell them the story of Jesus and tell them the story of his love as best I can this very, very day. I pray you will. May God bless you and may he give you a wonderful, wonderful day. And then I do pray that he would help you show somebody the love of Jesus today. And next Sunday, we plan to be right back here with you again, teaching you the Word of God. May God bless you this day and every day you walk with him.